From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Last fall, the Trempealeau County towns of Burnside and Lincoln voted to sue the city of Independence over the issue of whether an annexation by the city of town land is legal. The owners of a frac sand mine want to move into the city limits, which are a mile away, to allow for an expansion. There have been about a half a dozen similar instances where cities in Trempealeau County have annexed frac sand mines. Frac sand mines are considered non-metallic mines and are traditionally located in townships in rural areas. The annexations have been seen as an attempt to get around a moratorium the Trempealeau County Board placed on frac sand mines. This was a recent topic on WPR's The West Side, based in Eau Claire. Host Rich Kramer talked with Philip Freeberg, a land use regulation specialist from UW Extension's Local Government Center. Michael Coles is executive director of Wisconsin Towns Association and former Trempealeau County Board member Tom Bice. Philip Freeberg describes the flurry of annexations in Trempealeau County as highly unusual.
This was put into place to provide for an orderly growth process of cities and villages. And with the frac sand mines, it calls to mind, my background is I am an attorney. And so prior to coming to Extension, I represented a lot of municipalities and also some citizens fighting municipalities. And we had used to have a lot of objections and litigations over granite pits, you know, much, much smaller types of operations, mm-hmm. and people would be upset, and quite, granite pit owners would argue, well, yeah, it's out in a farming area, but where would you expect a granite pit to be? You wouldn't expect it to be in the city. Well, now let's flip it to the phenomenon we're seeing now, where do you really expect to see a large non-metallic mining operation in the city? I mean, that's just kind of an evaluative common sense approach, but it also has a foundation in the law. Annexations, one of the means of challenging them or an issue is the courts have recognized what's called a rule of reason, and it was created by the courts to basically be a check on arbitrary exercise of annexation power by cities and villages. And among the things that are in there is kind of what we're talking about, what we're seeing here, the odd and kind of gerrymandering shapes of some annexations. That's one aspect of it. But the other one is there a reasonable or foreseeable use that the municipality would have for the particular territory that's going to be used? And does the territory have a foreseeable need to be in the city? And someone who understands the mining process can correct me on this, but I guess the challenge I see is I don't see why the residents of city would need a mine within their city limits for, except, you know, but on the other hand, what were the needs of the owners? Do they need fire protection services? Do they need, typically, water and sewer is a really common trigger for annexation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the sewer use of a frac sand mine would be very limited, and usually they rely on wells for their own process. As a matter of fact, I would guess if they are using water, if they're doing washing at the operation, the demand on a city's water system is probably far exceeds what it has the capacity to do. And I would not be surprised to learn that any of these mines that are currently in cities don't have any present need for those kind of services. Then the other kinds of services, police services, planning services, other types of city support, parks, and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to imagine. Also, you know, there's certain development options that cities and villages have, such as tax increment financing as a way to kind of help the process, you know, try to bring in jobs and development. Well, if the development's already up and running, you know, there's not a need for that. Now, that can be brought up, but unfortunately, or fortunately, and when it's a unanimous annexation, those particular issues, the reasonable and foreseeable need of the territory residents and owners or the city for the particular parcel, is not one of the issues that can be challenged or litigated in a unanimous annexation. Hmm. However, if it is one where the majority of, you know, if it's that kind of annexation or a referendum one, then that is a legitimate issue for a court to address. There's one other aspect, which is the contiguous aspect, that can be addressed in the lawsuits in a unanimous annexation. That one is still left open to towns.
Mike Colas, so in Tremblay County, you know, with what Philip Freeberg just mentioned, what's your best guess at why these companies are going this route? And we'll get some more information in just a bit from Tom Bice on that front.
As Philip pointed out, these are, he didn't say it exactly this way, but these are rural land uses that are in rural areas, and there's no reasonable need for the city or village to have these. My sense is that there are a couple of real pros for a city to have this. You're getting property value, which adds to your tax base. It's considered new construction, so it increases your levy limit. So from a revenue standpoint, as a city or village, why not grab onto these things? Because it comes with a lot of benefits. And better yet, if it's geographically removed from your city or village, you don't have any of the potential negative externalities that you need to manage for. So from a city side, there's a lot of pluses and not a lot of negatives, especially if there's any kind of payment that the sand mine company provides to the city or village for the benefit of being in the city or village. And from a sand mine standpoint, if you have onerous regulations in their perspective that the town or the county, the other two local governments that would have jurisdiction when they're in a town situation, if you see the regulation as onerous, well, this is an easy way to avoid that regulation and go into a city or village who may or may not be equipped to handle the type of regulation necessary to prevent negative or manage negative externalities. And may not want to do that. So there are a lot of benefits for the sand mining companies and the cities and villages. And unfortunately, the residents, the county residents, the town residents, get to manage, or in fact, not even have the ability to manage the negative externalities. One of our big challenges, and to the question you asked, Philip, is this a new phenomenon? It's a new phenomenon, and it's a frightening phenomenon because you really have, in addition to the rule of reason being violated, as Philip went through, I think it goes beyond that. I think this is really anti-democratic, anti-representative democracy, and quite frankly, and it sounds a little out there, but anti-American. I mean, we have residents in towns and counties who are now removed from the political process. They have no ability to elect the city aldermen or the village trustees, and yet they are the people, the village trustees and city aldermen, who are making recommendations and decisions in these people's backyard. And that is something that we're very frightened about and sets a very poor precedent in the state of Wisconsin, where we essentially have disenfranchisement due to annexation.
Philip Freeberg, what about, you know, a city's growth? Because in a lot of situations, in Tremblay County at least, it seems like there's a real hot spot for these sand mines. It's near a rail line. It's in between, generally between Independence and Whitehall and in that Blair area. That's where we're seeing the majority of these annexations happening in that county. Could a city technically, you know, by accident, I guess, annex themselves into a corner?
Well, that's kind of what I'm suggesting. Okay, is if okay. They've got a full-blown operation here and they're used to controlling land use, you know, and zoning is basically putting into law, you know, good neighbor policy. You know, I'm going to operate in a way that we can all get along with my adjoining property owners very well and operate accordingly. And it's not typical for cities and villages to have ordinances that deal with non-metallic mining operations, but the other thing is the scale that happens in the sand mines is phenomenal. It's industrial use, but it's industrial on a major size. You know, it's not unusual for cities and villages to have industrial uses in them, But you're usually talking about factory type of operations.
Mm-hmm.
These are extremely large areas. And I think maybe what you're suggesting there, Rich, may be one argument for the city with a reasonable need or the type of services is, perhaps they could provide some facilitation opportunities for development of rail or other type of transportation's infrastructure. But then again, I'm not so sure that those same types of programs are not also available to towns. I might have to defer to Mike on that. But
Mike Willis?
Towns are better equipped to address non-metallic mining. Counties and towns are better equipped to address non-metallic mining than our cities and villages, just because historically non-metallic mining has occurred in towns and counties in rural areas. This is a rural land use, and they have addressed non-metallic mining through either zoning or licensing permits that allow for that particular piece of property to be rehabilitated.
Mike Colas is joining us from Shawano. He is the executive director for the Wisconsin Towns Association. Philip Freeberg joins us from Madison. He is the local government law educator for UW Extension. And now I bring on Tom Bice. Tom is a former Trempealeau County board member, and he was the chair for the Environment and Land Use Committee there in Trempealeau County. Tom Bice, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We've got a handful of annexations that have happened in the last 4 years. Why do you think that's happening in Trempealeau County?
It's very clear that the mining companies are interested in, if they're going to come into Trempealeau County and invest close to $100 million, they need to be able to do that efficiently. And so with the regulation getting stiffer and stiffer and stiffer in Trempealeau County, they feel that they can basically invest their money and do better if they can annex and be regulated by the local communities rather than the county.
Being on the county board, did you see this coming?
100%. As you mentioned, I was chair of the committee during our last public hearing for our current ordinance. One of my committee members, who had been on the zoning committee in Trempealeau County for many years, asked our corporation counsel if he could stand up and explain that the excessive regulation was going to cause annexations, and he wanted to explain how and why that would happen. And he was told he couldn't do that. He came to me with a resignation on paper. He resigned. He signed up to speak, and he did clarify that very clearly, that these annexations would be more commonplace if we continue to make the zoning more restrictive.
And, Tom, I'll stick with you real quick. What kind of regulations are the onerous ones that these companies are seeking to renegotiate with cities?
The only main ones that they really needed to do was hours of operation. Basically, that comes down to, if you're going to spend $100 million but only operate 80% of the time, then you may have to spend $120 million just for to cover more equipment, more manufacturing, in order to meet the goals that you have as far as producing a product. So that's a lot of money for very little gain. And then the other one was the noise levels. Noise levels, basically, I've been to these mining operations. They produce very little noise, but that was a huge concern. A lot of people didn't understand the concept of how much noise in the ordinance. It tended to be kind of critical as far as it made people real nervous. They didn't know what levels of noise they were going to be hearing. And so they had a overly restrictive noise ordinance, and that was the other one.
Now, I had attended a few board meetings while you were still still with the Trempealeau County Board of Commissioners. Now, there was a lot of members that were very vocal, members of the public, that were very concerned about this. Did they represent the majority of people, or were they just a loud minority?
They were a loud minority. This is a real interesting concept. The sand industry, once a mining company gets the ability, a permit, or else an operating facility, they basically, at that point, turn on all their competitors. So there is no consortium of any kind in this industry. The idea is that when they can produce sand and sell sand, they do not want any more competitors. So for the most part, this mining industry does not get along with anybody. The outspoken minority continue to tell the dangers of this industry, but I can tell you I've researched every single detail they ever came up with, and there's literally no danger. Once you take the trucks off the road, there is no danger. But they were very outspoken. And again, I brought up a point about the consortium of pro-CN, pro-industry people. There is none out there, because once they get their permit, once they're operating, they do not like their competitors, and there's no agreement amongst them.
These annexations, they can get kind of complicated. We've got a couple of months ago, maybe more than that, two towns in Trempealeau County started the process of challenging an annexation of a sand mine. It was the City of Independence that was annexing property owned by, at the time, Cameron Rail. It looks like Superior Silica Sands, a large Texas-based company, wanted to purchase that and develop it and make it a multiple hundred-acre mine. But the towns kind of objected to that. This is a mine that is more than a mile away from the City of Independence, so there was a strip of land annexed through through two towns to get to the property. So that's in court. Philip Freeberg, if you could guide us through what happened there. They petitioned the DOA, as you were talking about earlier. There's this procedure. The Department of Administration offered opinion on it. And could you walk us through that?
You know, the limited areas for them to review is whether the territory is contiguous to the annexing municipality.
Meaning if it's just right next door, right?
Well, no. Actually, the statute uses the term contiguous.
Okay.
And the courts, looking at that term, said, well, it's not defined in the statute, so, and it's not entirely clear. So we're called upon to interpret it, and so their interpretation is that there be some physical contact, you know, what you just mentioned, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other is that the way the boundaries are, then, that are contiguous, that, you know, that they're not arbitrary, or they're, you know, properties that are excluded or irregular are just not there for a good public policy reason. And one of them that courts have identified is having parcels that are just there for the purpose of touching contiguous property. In other words, the parcels are coming in for no other reason other than to make them touch the particular municipality and satisfy the contiguous. So what the department did when they was reviewing it said that even though this was three separate annexations, they said it's really part of a whole. And the two parcels that were necessary to connect the mine, which went through two different towns, was the part that made them determine it wasn't contiguous. There was no reason for those to be brought into the city, at least and that's what the opinion of the department was. In other words, they say it's not contiguous because it has no relationship to the city in any way, shape, and form, except as a mean of access to the territory of the mine operation that was trying to come into the city.
Mike Colas, where are they at right now with this situation?
Well, they've brought suit against the city. They determined to do that within the clock.
This is towns of Lincoln and Burnside.
Right. And it is now in circuit court.
Is this a good case study for this whole new phenomenon that we're talking about?
Well, I think it is. The court previously has applied the rule of reason and the three prongs of that, and essentially determined in a couple of cases, the seminal one being a Mount Pleasant versus City of Racine case, that the shape of the annexation needs to be unexceptional. You can't create crazy quilt gerrymandered boundaries, and you have that in this case. In that Mount Pleasant case, it was a balloon on a string situation, much like here. It wasn't nearly as long. The DOA has essentially cited all of these things in their response to the request from the towns to take a look at this, and it's very clear, based upon previous law, that this is not a legal annexation, yet you have these kinds of balloons on a string that are going on because the towns are frugal, they don't have a lot of money, and have to enter into that risk of losing that court case in circuit court. And anything can happen, even though the Supreme Court has been pretty clear on the lack of legality of these, so they don't often do it. The cities and villages have an opportunity to take advantage of the situation. In this case, they did. I would expect that the circuit court, if they read through, the Supreme Court would side with the two towns in this case.
The guests on today's show, we're talking about the issue of frac sand mines being annexed from townships to cities in Trempealeau County. The issue was a topic explored by WPR's Eau Claire reporter, Rich Kramer, on the West Side. A link to the full discussion is available at WPR.org/newsmakers. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at WPR.org/newsmakers. There, you'll also find a link to a story WPR has done on the annexation lawsuits. Visit our website if you'd like to share comments or make a suggestion for a future show, and there you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at WPR.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.